Today on the Kevin O'Connor Show, bringing on Dan Titus to discuss All-Star Weekend and our post-All-Star break breakout players. This week on the show, have a ton of interviews coming. Drew Hanlon, Trey Murphy, and a lot else. Look forward to that. Coming up, Dan Titus. Welcome back to another episode of the Kevin O'Connor Show. Joining me to discuss All-Star Weekend and our post-All-Star breakout players, Dan Titus. What's up, Dan?
What's up, KOC? Good to have you in the Bay, man.
We're here in person recording this after the All-Star game on Sunday night. Adam Silver should be embarrassed, Dan. Embarrassed. I didn't think All-Star Weekend could get any worse, and somehow it did. Kevin Hart got more TV time than the All-Stars themselves. LeBron and Edwards didn't play. LeBron, shortly before the game, says he's not suiting up. Edwards is suited up. He doesn't go out there. The long breaks ruined the game. There's a 20-minute break, you know, for TNT in the middle of the finale. They're relying on a G Leaguer to save the dunk contest. Adam Silver can't even get Steph to participate in the three-point contest in San Francisco. This was the worst All-Star weekend ever.
You're not wrong. It was the worst one ever. I mean, for everything that you said, when you combine that with the fact that there was just so much difference, and like the analysts didn't even know on the broadcast what was going on with the All-Star game. How can you have a product where the guys explain it to the audience, don't even know what's going on? And when you look at the gaps that they had with the players, you know, we saw the rising stars. We could have just had the All-Star snubs in that. That would have been more entertaining. There's so many things that need to be fixed between Saturday and Sunday that I don't know where the All-Star game goes from here, because you said it best, man. Like, it was the worst experience, viewing experience, that I think I've watched. And I was at Indianapolis when they were chucking up a bunch of threes. That looked better than what this was. This was a theatrical moment where Kevin Hart was just on the TV entirely too much.
It was funny when he called out Shaq for looking like a porn star director.
Yeah, yeah.
There's funny little moments like Mr. Beast Challenge. We see this kid, Jaren, some teenager, win $100,000.
That was cool.
There's like some cool little moments in there.
Yeah, moments.
Like, I felt like the game itself, though, the night itself, started out solid. Rafael Saadiq, the intros.
That was dope.
That was great music from the Bay Area. The transitions between songs during the intros was excellent. It was really fun to watch that. The first game was fairly competitive. Victor Wembanyama out there hustling. He tried more than anybody.
Absolutely.
I thought both ends of anybody in tonight's contest. 17 points total in the games, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. I thought if there's any hope from tonight, it's the fact Victor, in the final moments, even after a really good performance, like Şengün allows a wide open layup for the winning bucket for the Shaq OG team led by Stephen Curry, who won MVP of All-Star Weekend. And Victor's pissed off. He's like waving his arms at Şengün. He's looking annoyed that an open layup was allowed. Victor looked like the guy who cared most out there tonight. So maybe that's encouraging for some of these games moving forward. Maybe. But that's just one guy.
That's a big maybe, because I think I don't think that that's one player, and maybe the future face of the league. That's a huge pendulum that needs to swing, is that the stars need to be encouraged and actually want to have some pride in All-Star Weekend. It's cool if Victor has it. That's great. But as you said, LeBron didn't play. Anthony Edwards wasn't there. What other stars are we going to get? Like, it was nice that Steph Curry had that nice little flurry at the end of the game, gave the crowd the half-court shot. You always love to see those moments. But I just feel like there's just too much to repair out of this, man. Like, I don't even know what team everybody played for. Like, on the screen, it said Team Chuck and Team Kenny. But I'm like, what players are on which team?
Yeah, but then it's like Team World, and then it's this team and that team.
It's so confusing. Yeah. And then you mentioned Şengün. Did he even barely played?
I think Brunson, like, he's having this amazing season for the Knicks. He more than earns a spot. Yeah. We saw him for, like, 7 minutes.
That's a huge problem. And, like, when you break up so many teams, you just got to go back to the traditional East and West. I don't know how you incentivize them to do it, but that's the answer, because then you get to see all the stars across all of the teams, and you actually have some idea of who's playing for who. This got too convoluted and too confusing. Adam Silver, if you're hearing this, you got to just do something. Do something. Go back to basics. You're doing too much.
Well, see, I think the tournament format could have worked. I think it could have worked, but it was like it could not have been executed any more poorly, because of there's more breaks than there were actual basketball being played. Yeah. Like in the middle of the final game, it's 11-1, and Team Shaq, the OG team with the older players, should have been LeBron. He wasn't out there with KD and Steph and all those guys. It's 11-1, and there was like a 20-minute real-time break in the middle of the game to give jerseys to the TNT crew, which, great, respect
they
to
earned
them.
It. They earned it.
They earned but it. But in the middle of a game? Bro, in the middle of a game?
You could have did that on Saturday. You could have did it before the intros.
You could have done it instead of either the Mr. Beast Challenge or instead of the Bay Area concert they had between the second
and third. You got to show the
You could have done one
Bay.
Of them. You could have done one of those.
Or you just take out a whole Kevin Hart segment.
Or, yeah, exactly. Whatever like, it is. But like you had Jaylen Brown literally in the middle of that waving them off the court. He's like, get out of here. I mean, I just don't understand some of the decisions that went into this.
The programming was a mess.
The tournament aspect, I think it could have been competitive. Like Draymond complained before the game. He's like, oh yeah, the Rising Stars didn't earn their place on this court.
Draymond was saying a whole lot.
I mean, yeah, he was saying a lot. We'll talk a lot about Draymond later, but particularly on this point, I thought Charles Barkley nailed it during the second game when he's like, I disagree completely with Draymond's comments. The reason why the NBA has to have the Rising Stars as part of this new tournament format is because his generation ruined the games.
That's facts.
By not taking them seriously.
Yeah.
Now, I think you could say, if you're a player of that generation, you're going to say, well, you really expect us to bust our ass on Sundays when you're asking us to do like 12 straight hours of media and events and signings and this and that and this and that on Friday and Saturday. And then you expect us to do it again on Sunday morning and then go out and play really hard on Sunday night while we're making $50 million a year. I mean, like, come on. Like, I think from the NBA side of things, there's things in their control as well where maybe bigger cash prize, maybe different, you know, environment, but all of these shenanigans, like, it just made the basketball game even worse. I was most entertained by the music and Mr. Beast. It shouldn't be that way, Dan. I'm a basketball guy.
The Mr. Beast thing was cool, especially you're in the arena watching anyone win 100K.
It's
like,
awesome.
That's a dope moment. But I think the format works really well for the Saturday night's events to me. I think that was a really good way for people that may not have been in the know of some of these younger stars, they get an opportunity to actually see them. That's an important thing. And I think I like the incentive of having the opportunity to play in the All-Star game. Who knows if Keontae George, I think Amen Thompson will definitely be there one day. But I think it would have been more interesting if they had the All-Star snubs be that fourth team to kind of raise that bar. Because those are the guys that should have been there. That you know that they're going to dominate or try to at least go at those guys that took their spots. And, you know, with Ant and LeBron being out, that was two spots they could have had right there. So, yeah, I think the one interesting move that I would make in All-Star Weekend is get rid of the skills challenge and put in a one-on-one King of the Hill. It's worked for Unrivaled. We watch all of those USA Olympic battles with Kevin Garnett when he would just dominate people. And I think they even asked Anthony Edwards at Media Day, who do you think would win King of the Hill? And I think he said Kevin Durant. A couple other people said Kevin Durant. That would be a really interesting wrinkle that would bring out some competition. But then also, maybe there's some incentive you can add to that. Win $2 million for King of the Hill or something. If Mr. Beast is throwing out 100K, you could definitely raise the stakes if you're the NBA. Get a partner in there, sponsor it. Not a hard thing to do.
I mean, with Beast Games, Mr. Beast gave away $24 million in total money. If he can give away $24 million for an Amazon Prime show,
right.
I think the NBA can probably come up with something that really incentivizes these players.
Yeah.
Now, that's where the tournament thing is interesting to me because I do think there were moments it felt a bit more competitive defensively, whether that was Victor, like Kyrie even had possessions where he was grinding on defense.
Sure.
There was these little moments I felt like the defensive intensity was higher, but it wasn't anything major at all in the slightest. So maybe there's something to, like, if you just like do like a Rucker Park style thing where it's just one game after the other, no breaks, none of these shenanigans, just straight up basketball with a massive cash prize. The cash prize has helped make the NBA Cup games more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it also make an All-Star tournament more competitive? Maybe you make the All-Star tournament a multi-day thing, for that matter. Maybe you have the All-Stars play on Friday and then again on Sunday. Maybe it's something like that. And like you really make the cash prize significant because clearly the cash prize is an incentive for the NBA Cup. So maybe that's where like the NHL, I did not watch the NHL games. All I know is there was like
three, they were scrapping.
Yeah, they were scrapping. Like they were hard fought games. That's all I know. Like some of my friends who are big NHL fans, they're like, yeah, like these were competitive games. Mm-hmm. All of them were. Like the Finland USA game, I guess, was competitive. And then there was what, the three fights in the first 10 seconds of USA Canada.
That was great.
So it's like maybe there's something to it with like Giannis before the game was saying he wants to see USA versus world. For years, I've been a fan of that. I don't know if there's enough world players to be all-stars, but maybe being named an all-star is something separate from the players competing in those games. I'm not sure exactly. I'm just spitballing here, but I do think cash prize plus some type of format, because this was sort of that.
Yeah.
One of the teams was kind of a world team. One of the teams was kind of a young guy team. One of the teams was sort of an older guy team. Maybe there's something to it. And then you have a snub team, like where they're not actually technically all-stars.
Right.
They don't get that honor, but they still get to compete in the games for the cash prize or something like that.
Right, right.
So I don't know. Like, I just feel like the tournament aspect, there's something there, but it can't have an hour-long break between games, and it can't have a 20-minute break in the middle of a game, and you can't have Kevin Hart getting more TV time and a trophy. Like, what are we doing? I just, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
It just felt like when you ever quit your job and you got nothing left to do, you said, F it. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't care anymore. Even Ernie was like, oh man, I forgot who the sponsors were. Let me get this out the way. Like,
that whole, I gotta make them happy.
The whole end of that production was just, it just gave F it vibes to me. And that was kind of how the whole performance was today. It was kind of like everything was kind of pieced together. We're just going to figure it out as it goes. That's not sustainable. So I think it was interesting what Giannis said about the World Games, though, because as we go into the global stage, obviously the international team being together, I thought it was a really interesting play by them. We now have Luka in LA. Maybe it may not hurt. You're playing games in Mexico City already. You know, you could definitely expand that out a little bit more. And maybe you could tweak the schedule enough that you're actually giving these all-stars a reasonable break. Because I remember Kyrie was talking about it in media day, was like, as much as I feel like I'm getting a break, there is no break. You have the media obligations. You still have to play in the game. And you have to go back to work on Thursday. So you go international, I think that could possibly open up a little bit more break in the schedule.
It just feels like the NBA has really made it more about promo. Like, you have Mr. Beast because you want to reach his younger audience. You have, like, you know, some of these artists here because you're trying to reach different audiences. Like, if that's what it's about right now, it feels like, rather than just the basketball. And that's where I'm a little bit disappointed. A reminder to the listeners and the viewers on YouTube, give this video a thumbs up and subscribe if you're listening on the audio. It really does help out the show. All right, Dan, Saturday night, I got myself in some trouble on social media. I criticized Mac McClung, who's a two-way contract player. I said, you know, Stephon Castle should have won, which I genuinely do believe. I like Castle's dunks. They didn't use the props. I thought he was really impressive on Saturday night. McClung, though, he three-peats to win the dunk contest. Now, I understand he's one of the greatest contest dunkers ever. But I understand he's one of the greatest contest dunkers ever, but it is representative of the state of the weekend when the NBA needs to rely on a G Leaguer who's played in as many NBA games the last 3 years as he has participated in dunk contests. You have Ja posting on X during the game, man, Max made me want to come back. Then you got Zach LaVine saying he might want to, Giannis saying he might want to. If you're a casual NBA fan, and I have a lot of friends that are casual NBA fans, if they tune in from, they're not tuning in for Mac McClung. They want to tune in for actual star level players or blossoming star level players. Can we get the Thompson twins next year? Can we get Ja Morant? Can we get Zion Williamson? Like, where are these actual stars? That's what the NBA needs. That's my whole issue with Mac McClung, who's not a real NBA player. He's a two-way contract guy that doesn't play in the NBA. That's my issue with it. What do you think?
He's played five NBA games.
Total. Three in the last 3 years during his dunk contest dominance, but five total.
And he's made more money on dunk contests than he has as an NBA player. Yes. So, yeah, that's a serious problem that the NBA has to address. I mean, you have to have the stars. And if not, they're not stars. They have to be marketable players. They can't be role players and G Leaguers.
Andre Jackson. I mean, Matas Muzelis. Really good.
He's going to be good.
Really
he's
good, but he's not even a dunker. Like, that's not what he is.
He's an in-game dunker.
Castle, like, he's a great athlete. So he's the one guy I look at that. I'm like, I understand them putting him in there
for sure. And I totally agree with your take. because Castle's dunks were like ethical dunks.
Yeah.
He didn't require a car. Backing this, the car up took like 5-10 minutes.
And lifting himself off the dude. Right. I mean, like,
who was the guy even throwing the passes? Did we even ID that guy? Like, you couldn't get an NBA. Chris Paul's sitting right there. You're literal point guard.
But McClung, I mean, look, all due respect, he's done the same dunk in different ways a lot of times. Jumping
he
over
always
the guy,
needs the boost.
Propel, like, he gets the boost. It's the same dunk in different ways.
It's the Steve Francis boost. Those young guys always need that little, you know, yes. what I'm saying, that little thing. And all credit to Mac McClung. He made his dunks. They were very creative.
Yeah. Good for
but
him.
But enough of the props.
Yeah.
It's not dunking. We have plenty of creative athletes and dunkers out there in the world that can do that without all the props and the shenanigans. And I think that, you know, Stephon Castle got, I'm not going to say he got robbed, but he deserved better than the judges gave him, because I think it was a lot closer than it appeared.
That first dunk in the final where they gave him like, what, 49.6 or something? Like, those are all 50s.
They're all 50s. Easy.
I thought so as well. I mean, ultimately, improving the dunk contest is merely a matter of getting stars to participate. And again, stars aren't participating because they don't want to get embarrassed on national stage. There's no real incentive to doing it other than a little trophy. And maybe like your pride can really only get hurt.
Yeah. Who's going to set the bar? Like, LeBron didn't play in tonight's All-Star game. He never participated in the dunk contest. So like, if you're looking for the face of the league to step up and do that, Anthony Edwards doesn't want to do it. If Ja's tweeting about it, Zach LaVine's already responded.
It's all talk though. It's all talk.
You don't believe it? Yeah. You don't think they'll do it?
I mean, I don't believe it. It's like a whole year from now.
Yeah.
So let's see it.
We got Jaws has to stay healthy first, right?
Yes, and Zion, another guy. Like, yeah. It'd be awesome to see Zion doing something in there.
Yeah.
But can he actually stay healthy? I mean, look, like, that's part of it. McClung is a full-time dunker. Like, he's able to practice things. He can risk injury with practicing.
He'll jump over a car. Does he even have insurance? Like, you're a two-way contract. Like, bro, you're risking it all.
But like, Ja can't practice jumping over a car.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
He can't do that. Stephon Castle can't practice that for that matter. So that's
valuable
where,
minutes.
You know, I think McClung makes it funner in certain ways, but like, it's also representative of the issue with the weekend as a whole.
Yeah.
And you mentioned LeBron never did the dunk contest. That's part of the issue here, man. Like, we talk about this generation where like the All-Star game is degraded. LeBron never doing the dunk contest like stars before him always did.
Yep.
On tonight, he doesn't even dress up in his jersey for the events. He stays in his street clothes.
Too cool.
I mean, like, come on, man.
Too cool.
That's some BS, dude. Hours before the game, you couldn't have done this last week if you had a feeling you're not going to play, where there's certain guys that could have suited up,
absolutely,
could have been named a replacement and could have gotten this honor. I thought that was like, I love LeBron. I thought that was really low for him to do that tonight.
Likewise. You could have given that opportunity to somebody else. And yeah, back to the dunk thing. It's back to that incentive. You have to incentivize them to want to do this.
Money.
Like, that's the only way you're just going to.
It's only money.
It's the only way you're going to change it.
It's just money.
So just get a partner. Get another sponsor in there. Get Emirates dunk contest. Give them a purse. Let's get it.
get that Saudi money?
Hey, I'm saying. They're paying.
Well, let's talk about some stuff that also happened throughout the night besides on the court, besides the festivities. Draymond Green in the booth before the game. He was on something, like you said. He was talking, alphas never need to out alpha, another alpha. He had that quote referencing Jimmy Butler joining the Warriors. And then he looks into the camera and he's like, we're winning the championship. Do you give the Warriors any shot?
I mean, nah.
No?
They look better, but you're not beating the Thunder. You're not. I mean, I'd say there is some parity now, but the Warriors aren't good enough. And I think it starts with, hey, great acquisition by getting Jimmy Butler, your floor is raised. That's going to help in the regular season. When it comes to the playoffs, I don't know, man. Draymond's not the same player anymore. Someone's been carrying him for a really long time. And he could say that on national TV if he wants, but I think he was just hitting the bottle a little bit too much before he got on air.
It sure felt like it.
It did. He had some hot. He was. I mean, the one thing I did agree with him, he was adamantly against the, you know, rising stars playing against the all-stars.
Yeah.
And I feel that. But he didn't have to go that hard on it. Like, again, this is when you quit your job, you don't care anymore, you're just gonna say what you want to say. I felt like that was a lot of what Draymond was talking about tonight. Like, bro, you're just doing too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was interesting with, like, you know, you mentioned, like, he's really talking.
He's talking.
I did not see the comments live, like, in context, but I do know he said he was offered the Warriors head coaching job for after he retires, but he thinks he'd be a good coach, but he doesn't want to be a coach. What a strange thing to reveal. Like, I feel like he was just trying to make headlines.
That doesn't just slip out in normal conversation. Like, oh, by the way, I was offered Steve Kerr's job afterwards. Just by the way, in case you wanted to know.
Like, it's kind of like when Bob Myers was on ESPN prior to the trade deadline. And he's like, the Grizzlies, he lets it slip. The Grizzlies, our team made calls for Kevin Durant. And Windhorst is like, you just broke some news. And Bob Myers is like, did I? Oh, did I break some news? It's like, yeah, you did this intentionally. You have an agenda here. Like, clearly Draymond has a reason for saying what he said.
I think Draymond would be a good coach for what it's worth, but
better coach or better broadcaster?
Coach.
Think so?
Yeah. I broadcast Draymond? Nah. Nah.
I'm a podcaster. Podcaster, broadcaster, different category.
That's fine. Yeah. We don't need TNT Draymond for the rest of our no.
Let's Draymond is a coach?
I can totally see that.
Does he have the
great motivator? You know his team would strap up on defense. He knows the X's and O's.
Punched Jordan Poole.
He might punch a player. I'm here for it. Let's make the NBA. Let's make it interesting, man.
Maybe that could work. Maybe players always feel threatened.
I mean, right. Let's go back to, we're on the Bay here, like PJ Carlissimo getting choked out. That's not happening against Draymond.
That's true. Nobody's going to challenge Draymond at all. Maybe he should look into coaching instead of broadcasting. I mean, he could be podcaster turned coach just like JJ Redick.
Hey.
Look at JJ. He's coaching Luka and LeBron.
We have the pathway.
I mean, maybe Draymond should think about doing that. Another reminder to listeners, please give this video a thumbs up on YouTube and subscribe if you're listening on Spotify and Apple. All right, Dan, let's talk about our post All-Star breakout candidates. We saw Stephon Castle play all 3 days in All-Star weekend. I think he'd be the first guy that comes to mind for me as a potential breakout guy in the second half. We've seen him ascend throughout the year for the Spurs. Maybe he ends up starting games down the stretch of the season, San Antonio competing for a play-in or a playoff spot. Castle's the first guy that comes to mind for me, kind of like springboarding off of this weekend. Would you agree with Castle as a guy?
Definitely. And I think it's only a matter of time before he earns starters minutes. I mean, you already saw the athleticism on full display this weekend. But when you have De'Aaron Fox there, you have to push the pace. That's not something that Chris Paul likes to do. Bring him off the bench. It's just going to make the Spurs that much more dynamic once they're going to the second half or the later third of the season.
You're speaking my language here, Dan. Tom Averstrow on my show last week, he's like, I'm a top Chris Paul hater. I'm not a Chris Paul hater. I'm just a realist. He's 50 years old at this point. He should be coming off the bench.
It's time.
Let's assemble five total guys. So we get Castle. Who would you put on that team?
Number two, I put Asar Thompson. Tobias Harris seems to be fading right now. And if you look over the last five games, Asar Thompson's just been ascending. 16 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. He does it all. Look at his brother. When you give him the minutes, he's going to produce. He's been playing over 28 minutes per game. Get that up over 30. I think the Detroit Pistons could be a playoff team, not a playing team, playoff team. Right now they're sitting sixth in the Eastern Conference. They could definitely make a solid push here.
Racking up 2 steals a game as well. Great fantasy player. Yeah. That's why you're offering me for him in fantasy. You're going for Asar Thompson for a guy that I think does belong on the list. Donovan Clingan from the Portland Trailblazers. Absolutely. DeAndre Ayton out at least a month, probably for the rest of the season, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Robert Williams sidelined as well. Clingan played over 30 minutes for the first time since November, and he had 17 points, 20 rebounds. I might be mixing up those numbers on the top of my head.
That's right.
But it's like nearly a 20-20. The dude on a per minute basis has dominated this season. And you and I, and in our fantasy, a quick little aside for everybody. I have Ayton on my team.
Bad decision.
And you added Clingan before I could get to him because you're an a-hole and you have West Coast advantage with waivers at midnight. And I hit you up. I offer you Cole Anthony, who's I'm going to drop as soon as I have to, for Clingan.
And you trashiest trade offer, y'all.
And you counter with Asar Thompson, which is a very fair offer. And I'm highly considering it. But I'm not.
All right. So what's it going to take you?
I mean, but Asar is a premium position in fantasy. Would you agree, as a Yahoo Sports fantasy expert? By the way, congratulations to the Yahoo Sports fantasy team as well, and yourself for some of the honors and nominations.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
This past week, as a fantasy expert, would you agree that forward position is more of a premium for lineups in the fantasy playoffs, the over centers?
Absolutely. And especially when you're looking at someone like Asar Thompson, who has dual position eligibility, put him into a couple of different spots, but then also Clingan, it's going to be some tank potential there. Also, the minutes cap. I think Asar's got a lot of upside. So what's it going to take to get this deal done?
Maybe I'll offer you Andrew Wiggins instead.
Oh, God. Don't give me Wiggs. Come on, man. This is a fair offer.
It is a fair
offer. After I even had the, you know, I was so kind to even rebut with a actual offer. You give me that trash of Cole Anthony.
That was more like
for Donovan Clingan.
That wasn't even a real offer. That was just a hey, let's talk.
Yeah,
let's talk, Dan.
All right, so we're talking. Yeah. What's it going to take for a star?
I'll give you Andrew Wiggins.
Oh gosh. All right, we're gonna have to we have to handle this offline.
Okay.
All right.
That's insulting. He's also IR eligible right now.
But that's how you got to do it, man. You got to start small, work it away.
Yeah, and I know why you want Arsar.
You're not getting Donovan.
I know why you want Arsar. Maybe I won't. He's injury prone too. Maybe Ayton will come back and you'll have nobody for fantasy championship.
If you're willing to take that risk,
maybe
you can have him.
maybe I won't. Maybe Arsar will start putting up amen numbers down the stretch. So far, we have Stephon Castle, Arsar Thompson, Donovan Clingan. Pretty young so far. I would say Pods, another young guy that I'd have in mind on my end of things here. Pods, 14 points per game, 36% from three, 5.1 boards, 4.3 assists ever since he came back from injury about a month ago. Pods started the year horribly. When I had you on my podcast before the season, we talked about breakout guys, and you're like, Pods, major candidate for this coming off of his rookie season. Started out terrible. He's looked excellent as of late. If the Warriors continue to be competitive down the stretch of this season, and it looks like they definitely will be with Jimmy Butler in the flow there, Pods, I think you're talking breakout guys in terms of, oh, this guy's for real. Like, he's starting to get national attention. A lot of eyeballs could be on Pods, especially if he continues contributing like this.
He's found his role, and you said it best, man. Like, I think now, after the trade deadline, moved a couple pieces, he's found his role. He's found his niche. After coming back of the ab injury, he's been a completely different player. So that's exactly what they needed from their bench role. Buddy Hield's a little bit inconsistent and maybe stays in the starting lineup, but I think Pods is going to be the guy they're going to be relying on in those crunch time minutes.
I mean, I got to give Steve Kerr credit as well. He's been starting Buddy Hield. Their most recent game, he starts Moody and Pods instead.
Moody's also been Hield. Great. Yeah.
Moody looking good as well. And I think, you know, we'll see how that changes once the guys are back in the lineup. But having Pods or Moody in that starting five, probably Pods instead with his connective passing ability and all that, makes a hell of a lot more sense than Buddy Hield, who he looked like Klay Thompson to start the season, but like he has not been very productive at all in any way since then. So we got four guys: Arsar Thompson, Donovan Clingan, Pods, Stephon Castle. Who's our fifth?
Going with Isaiah Collier. He reminds me of like Tyreek Evans back in the day, but like he's just 6'5", very crafty. The playmaking, though, I think the Jazz have their franchise point guard. They tried Keyonte George out in that role, didn't really work out, high turnover rate. I mean, if you look at Isaiah Collier's numbers over the last month, 14 points, 8 assists, and he's being efficient. That's like the thing.
Low turnover, too.
Low turnover rate, yeah. So, like, I mean, I think the shot profile was the biggest question mark with him, but I think he's tank-proof, and he just looks like he's a guy that can run that offense for the future, and he looks great with no matter who's on that floor, he's producing. And, yeah, I think he's going to have a really good end of the season.
On my power ranking show last week, on my pod, I talked about Isaiah Collier as like a standout guy with the Jazz. And I mentioned, you know, last year at USC, he had like averaged 4.4 assists to 3.4 turnovers. And like, if you watched him there, he took so many risks with the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, what are you doing out there?
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about his downhill ability with his kind of like football player body.
Yeah, he's stocky.
He's so stocky, right? But the passing, I'm like, is this guy actually have the point guard feel, point guard instincts? And now you look at him, if you only watched Isaiah Collier this past month or two and didn't know anything about him prior, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy is like high IQ, you know, super reliable point guard. How does he have a mind like this as a rookie?
Yeah.
It's just like, how does a guy grow like this in a matter of a year? Like, I'm curious about your thoughts on that when you watch him, because I watch him, he feels like a veteran sometimes.
Yeah, in late game too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so poised. I'm trying to remember who the opponent was, but he had a late game fadeaway in the clutch. And I'm like, wow, this guy just looks like he is not afraid of the moment. And people forget he was the number one high school prospect before he went to USC. He had battled some injuries, and USC wasn't a very good basketball team, but go to the right environment, have a chance to play, and under a good coach like Will Hardy, you're going to thrive. So
sometimes situation, opportunities, everything. Absolutely. Right?
He could be one of the steals of the draft.
He definitely looks like he could be. And I think, you know, on our list, we have three rookies, Klingon, Castle, and Collier. I think those are three pretty good bets
for
like really strong finishes to close the year. And then we have two second-year guys, Pods and Thompson. Thompson, I mean, of all of the five, he's the one that's so intriguing to me because of his brother. Because we've seen our men pop and get to this level where he looks like one of the 30, 40 best guys in the NBA. Ausar Thompson was arguably better than our men playing in OTE, the Overtime Elite League. Arguably was better even at lower levels. It's just our men is such a better athlete. But Ausar was the one who was the better shooter at those levels. He was better defensively at those levels. Our men has exceeded him right now, like a lot of people expected. That's why he's drafted ahead of Ausar. But I wonder if Ausar, he catches up, because his situation is so dramatically different in Detroit.
Right.
But Tobias Harris fading, as you said, maybe Thompson's in for a big second half of the year, last third of the year. So I think with him, maybe we'll get those two brothers a year from now in a situation where they're in the dunk contest competing against each other. That would be exciting.
I love that you're manifesting that already, because that's what's going to save the dunk contest. Elite athletes that are gaining some name notoriety that are actually going to be faces and making an impact in this league for going forward. Not Andre Jackson Jr.
Yes.
No
yes,
offense.
Yes. Not Andre Jackson Jr., who could be a solid role player.
Yeah.
Not Mac McClung, who's a great dunker. You know, he's a G leaguer. It's not those guys. It's like Ausar and Amen Thompson, guys who can become actual all-stars and potentially even all NBA players.
Absolutely.
Like Amen Thompson, I think his upside is to be one of the 10, 15 best players in basketball. I really think he has an upside. He's already been, like, if you look at him just this season, Amen Thompson's been one of the 30, 40 best guys. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
I mean, if you're ranking guys from the last 2 months only, since January 1st, he's probably one of the best 25 guys.
Yeah.
Like just this only. I mean, if you look at
advanced stats, BPM, he's one of the top in there from a fantasy, because that's where I live in fantasy land. He's been a top, 15 player over the last 2 months. Since he's been inserted in the starting lineup, it makes you wonder. Jabari Smith is supposed to be coming back, but he's not getting his job back.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's like one of the big question marks for the remainder of the season.
Right.
For Houston, they're a playoff team in the West. They're trying to be this year's OKC, trying to win a round, trying to make a run, trying to be better than last year's OKC.
Right.
But then you insert Jabari Smith Jr. into the situation that's been working with Tari Eason, who's been awesome for them. Amen Thompson, who's been tremendous. Does that screw things up? Does he still play well and becomes a trade candidate this offseason? Or does he continue to look like a keeper? He's 6'10". He can shoot. Versatile defender. It's not like we're saying, Jabari Smith, you're out of here.
Right.
But things are really working well with those other guys right now. And like that's one of the big question marks I have in mind the remainder of this season.
That's why Ime gets paid the big bucks. He's going to have to make some tough decisions, because this team is rolling. They're, top three team in the Western Conference. They're rolling right now with them and Thompson, and you have to find minutes for everybody. So I don't know. We'll see how this integration comes back with Jabari Smith Jr., because he did have a hand injury. So let's see how he adapts and kind of gets worked back in I'm sure he's going to come back with a minutes restriction, but time will tell.
Yep, absolutely. Dan, this is a fun night talking basketball with you. The weekend itself, always fun to hang with you and all of our Yahoo staff here, meeting a lot of these people in person for the first time. Want to thank everybody for doing an awesome job this weekend. It's been great meeting everybody out here, and great to meet you in person as well, Dan.
Too,
and look forward to doing a lot more podcasts with you over the remainder of the season. We've got a great final stretch coming.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Thanks to Dan Tyus for joining me on today's episode of the Kevin O'Connor Show. Thanks to the entire Yahoo Sports staff for producing this weekend. We had an amazing time with me and Vinny Goodwell and Dan Tyus and all the stuff we put together this weekend. Thank you, guys. That means a lot. And thank you for giving us a listen or a view on YouTube. Please give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe on the audio feeds. It really does help out the show. Have a good week. We have a lot coming this week on the feed, so please be sure to stay tuned. Get some interviews with people from the weekend. Hope you enjoy those. Talk soon.